It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Makes the shot, scores! And it's a big win for the Sabres here on this power play. Jiří Tulík with the overtime winner! Shorthanded, Alex Tuck with the shot, scores!
3 for 3 on the trip, and right back at it tomorrow night on Thanksgiving Eve. Welcome into Sabres Live. Feels like it's been more than a week. But it hasn't. But it's been close, right?
It's been close. And this week, I got to get a little closer.
I feel like I'm so far from you. Yeah, I don't know what just happened to the camera there.
Sorry, I pulled.
No, yours and mine. We're a duo.
And last week, we only had Tuesday, Wednesday of shows because of the bye week for the Bills. Our crew got a well-deserved couple of days to not be spending their full day, especially, and their night in studio. So well-rested for this week. And then it's Thanksgiving. So we only have today and tomorrow as well of shows because Thursday is no show. And Friday is a 3 o'clock game. So we're not doing Sabres.
Why do you not want to work ever? Like, why do you just take this route and take everybody with you?
I'm
sitting here wanting to talk and nobody wants to talk with me.
I'm just telling you the schedule. I'm not doing anything on Thanksgiving other than sitting and eating like most people. And Friday is a 3 o'clock game.
Because you're going to be plowing.
No, I'll be plowing Friday after the game and Saturday and Sunday.
Early.
So it's the way it is. But yeah, so it does feel like a week because it's almost been a week. And then next week, Tuesday, it will feel like almost a week because it will have been almost a week. So that's the way it goes.
Thank you, Yogi.
It gets late early in West Coast. And the Sabres made it and shut the lights off on three teams on the West Coast, which was great. Tight games. Got to give... you know, like LA, San Jose, Anaheim, they're due. They played the games tight. But without Tage Thompson, the Sabres have really found a way on the West Coast to just do enough, right? And I'm not saying they didn't play really well. I felt they played really well, but there was moments in games like Anaheim until the late in the second period and San Jose at times that it's like, oh, are they going to find the energy, right? 3-4 and all of that, the travel going to San Jose. And they did enough. They found a way. This is a change. And I felt like that resiliency was definitely on display in those three West Coast games.
7-2 in the last 9. Name a team better in that stretch. More points.
Winnipeg.
Nope.
They don't have... Wow, they must have...
Since November 5th is the...
marker since November 5th.
That was the win over Ottawa. They're 7-2 since that night. Who has more points in that time span?
The Devils?
The Devils are 8-2 in their last 10, but only 7-2 in that stretch. So technically,
Toronto,
they are not better.
Toronto is only 7-2 in that last.
Toronto is 7-1 in that stretch.
Oh, okay, 7-1. So they've played one last game.
7-3-1 are the Hurricanes. So not even better. They just happen to have more points. So they played two more games. It's all about context, right? Like, it's just, think of the size of this window, this sample size, if you will, all the different combinations and situations within it. Like, it started with Tage, but hasn't had Tage lately. Mm-hmm. It started with Lukanen, then he was absent for a little bit. And they went through what felt like an extremely long, rough patch, even though it was only, I don't know, a week, right?
Yeah, where three games.
The week started with the Montreal game. They lost.
Yeah.
They had a rally to beat the Blues in overtime, and they had the loss in Philly. But for whatever reason, on the heels of the previous three-game win streak, it felt like a lot. And then flipped the script, and here we are talking about a team that, since November 5th, despite relying on some really good goaltending, they've scored the sixth most goals in that stretch. They're averaging over 3.5 a game. So they've found a way, to your point, without Thompson, to do enough. And, I mean, they're top 15 offensively in the league. They're not close to top five, which you predicted, promised.
I said, well, yeah, the first.
But they're trending the right way. This is good.
Yes.
This is good.
This is good. And you say without Tage the last five games, and really, without Tage has an impact on one player. And that's J.J. Paterka. J.J. Paterka only has two assists in those five games. The last time he scored was the Montreal game. That's a game that Tage left in that game. But I'm looking at J.J. Paterka with Tage and J.J. without Tage. It's been a difference this year. So, you know, when you look at practice today, it seems as though Tage will be back tomorrow. We'll get confirmation from Lindy Ruff after practice when he speaks to the media. But it does trend the way that Tage Thompson would be back against Minnesota, which would, in my opinion, unlock J.J. Paterka a little bit. It's been a little tougher for J.J. to produce without Tage Thompson. But Alex Tuch has been great. Jason Zucker has been great. Ryan McLeod's been great. Like, there's, and the defense of Byram and Dahlin, especially on the power play. Like, you have to look at it and say, the Sabres are 7-2 in the last nine. They're 4-1 in the five games without Tage Thompson. They're finding a way. And yeah, you ask me, who's the MVP of the season so far, a quarter of the way? And I said, Tage and maybe Alex Tuch. And you looked at me the other day on the pregame and were like, wow, like Lukanen, right? But yeah, Lukanen's a big part of that. But so is Reimer now in the game that he played and was really good in San Jose. So I think that they found a way to just have something different come through every game. It's not been one factor. It's been little different factors all the time, which is great for coaching staff.
The power play's been quiet the last two.
Exactly.
But they got got a shorthanded winner in San Jose.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Well, yeah, Tuch comes in again. Mm-hmm. That's why I say Alex Tuch has been great. And I know you know, we're not talked about it a whole lot when it looks as the four nation the rosters for the tournament, and they're gonna have to be named here in about a week. But I would put Alex Tuch on that USA roster right now because of the element of penalty kill, strength, power forward, all that. Like, he is like very, and I don't want to compare him to another player, but I think Sam Reinhart, and a lot of people are saying Sam Reinhart has a spot on Team Canada because he's different. I think Alex Tuch, what he's shown me now is he has an element of difference, right? In a different aspect of the game. 5-on-5, he can turn it on. Penalty kill, he can turn it on. Power play, he can play a different role. Net front, side, whatever. There's a lot to Alex Tuch that I am loving now. And so we'll see if that translates into him earning a spot on Team USA for the Four Nations face-off.
The only thing different about Sam Reinhart is that he has scored more than everybody else in the league since the start of last year,
that's
including playoffs.
Difference. So, that's a big difference. But in the way
so
that
if he's
Sam
not
has done
on
it,
the team, then that's a joke.
Sam Reinhart's on the team. Sam Reinhart is on Team Canada. But because I think you got to look at Alex Tuch and say, hey, is Alex Tuch earning himself a spot on that team where maybe other American players are not performing as well? Yeah, I think he could be.
You know what just popped into my head?
What?
Dreger reporting on a situation like this when quoting Pierre LeBrun.
Yeah, according to our insider, Pierre LeBrun, but they work together, so they also don't want to compete in the stories, right? So that's one of the things. So,
but who knows? I mean, I can't really do it in trivia now because you know half the answer. But Alex Tuch, because of Sam Reinhart's colossal failure to extend his own personal point streak last night, Alex Tuch and Anthony Cirelli are the current active point streak leaders in the NHL. Both are riding six gamers, both have 9 points in that stretch, and both have done it dramatically different ways, with Cirelli scoring 7 times, including goals in all six of the streak. And Tuch has scored 3 while setting up 6. So interesting nonetheless. And to your point about the league-wide Johnny Gaudreau tribute this year, the 4 longest point streaks this year, all 13 gamers.
Well, that I told you there was going to be a lot of those numbers that were going to come out this year, especially after the first month when it was Cole Caulfield and it was Heischer and it was the other 13.
Nico had his first hat trick last night, a natural one for the Devils.
So. Yeah, well, the Devils have played more games than anybody else in the league right now. They sit at 24 games, but they've performed really well, and they're doing it without really the goaltending that you would expect, because I think Jacob Markstrom has been average at best. The numbers point out that he's probably in the 40 to 50 range when it goes to goal save above expectations. But it doesn't matter because the Devils and Sheldon Keefe has been able to find a gear in their way. But look, okay, because we're, talking about every team that's having success, and the Sabres should be talked about in the same category now. The three-game winning streak, it followed a three-game losing streak, and then it got followed by a three-game winning streak. But since then, Lindy Ruff has mentioned, let's not slip away. Let's not let it go. The Sabres lost heartbreaking games to Montreal, heartbreaking games to the Flyers in games that they did not play well and they did not dwell on it. Those were wins.
Heartbreaking
in my...
against Philly.
Was that?
Heartbreaking? It's snatched from defeat snatched away at the last, they were never in the Philly game.
Yeah, no, I say heartbreaking in the way that maybe it's not the right word. I look at my sheet. I expected them to win those games. They didn't, right? So it kind of kicks you in the face a little bit, right? You didn't win a game you should have won. But you could have dwelled on it. You could have, made excuses. And Lindy Ruff, the biggest thing he said when they went, and now I've been on a little bit of a streak, is we're not going to lose 2 in a row. We're not going to lose 2 in a row. That 3-game losing streak, they were 4-4-1, and a week later they're 4-7-1, and then all of a sudden they're like, where are they going? Mm-hmm. And then they get to 7-7-1, and they lose 2, and they're 7-9-1. You're like, okay, you cannot have that happen. All the time you get to 500, you take 2 steps back. Mm-hmm. They've not taken steps back now, especially on that road trip, and it puts them 2 games over 500 now, which is a good first quarter.
Yes, but if you look at the overall standings, even with this impressive run of 7 wins in 9 games, granted, it has elevated them from a very, tough position to be in, which was closer to the bottom. Yep. Now they're wild card 2, but, and this is why I'm trying to use the word could and never.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Should, because I don't look at a schedule and say they should win this. They could win it. And then in hindsight, when the game's over, you say in some situations they could have won it, but I will never say they should have won it. And I will refuse all year long to suggest that Philadelphia is not in the same category. I've been saying it since last year. Like, I don't know what management was doing in Philly last year when they utterly just walked away from a playoff season. And like, it is the dumbest, honestly, dumbest thing I've seen an Eastern Conference team do in recent memory. They were a story last year, and they somehow like almost prevented their group, their core group, from having a shot at the playoffs. Anyway, enough of the rant. They are actually, in my mind, still underachieving. They're 2 points behind Buffalo. But if you look at the guys on that roster, Tippett's got 4 goals. Farabee's got 3. Morgan Frost is in and out of the lineup. If you had said that they are this good, despite beyond Sam Ersson, questionable goaltending numbers, but the beauty is they are in every game. They go to overtime all the time. Michkov is a star. There's no question about it. And like, so sorry for the digression,
the
but I'm never going to say they should beat Philly from this point on.
No,
it's a game. Somebody's going to win, and Philly is full value for where they are in the standings.
It's the NHL, right? Like, look, San Jose beats LA 7-2 yesterday.
6 goals in the last 26 minutes.
Exactly, right? And it's like, it's San Jose, and they didn't even have their best player in Mikael Granlund on the roster. But you know what? It's the NHL. You players are good, right? And that can happen. What made Philly good last year to a certain point and staying, you know, afloat until very late? And what has made them what they are now? When you talk about Fedotov and Kolosov, has not been great in that, but they still get results. Is their structure. John Tortorella, I've played for Torts, and I know their structure comes first, and it's always going to be the backbone, the foundation of that team right now. Travis Konecny is doing things that are amazing. Great. Travis Sanheim is doing things that are amazing. It's a structure. A team like Montreal, I feel like, have so much talent. They have zero structure. Now, they beat Buffalo 7-5, but they're all over the place when you look at structure. And now, what is the factor for the Sabres' recent success? We're getting a wave of response now on social media saying Lindy Ruff. And I think that the structure of the Sabres and the way that they play has been much better, which you can now overcome a Tage Thompson absence or even your star goalie, Luukkonen, not playing a game. because mm-hmm. your structure is what is starting to shine in the way that you're able to play and get results. Maybe that's just winning 1-0, but winning 1-0, if your structure comes through, it makes a big difference.
Well, give more examples to people that need to hear it, don't need to hear it.
Okay, well,
some are already on the Lindy train, right? And have been since Lindy arrived as a player. But this is a great opportunity to take the recent run of success and explain what you've seen that Lindy has done to really help them get to this point.
So there's two things. That's a great question. That's how you start answering questions these days. That's a great question, Duffer.
Stop stalling.
There's two reasons for that, okay? Yes. One is that you don't change the way you play. Doesn't matter. Like, they're down 2-0 to Anaheim. You don't change the way you play. You keep playing the same structure. Defensively, you're going to be, you're going to play better. But I think the defensive zone coverage is something that Lindy Ruff has always prided himself as a coach on. But you're going to stay the course. And that makes a big difference. Because then all of a sudden, you get one goal and you're like, hey, it works. It works because we didn't change. We didn't cheat. We didn't cheat. Our structure is going to help us get there. That's one thing. Two is because the structure, everybody understands and knows how to play the game. So now in the third period against Anaheim, Lindy Ruff makes some line changes, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't slow you down. It doesn't take 10 minutes for you to say, hey, we finally got to our game because the line changes, it kind of scrambled things up. No, everybody knows how they're supposed to play. So if you and I, Duffer, always play together, and then third period starts, not playing together.
When do we get broken up?
Well, I don't know. We got broken up in the third period in Anaheim, let's just say. Okay? But I'm going to play with Jeff, producer Jeff. Well, I know how producer Jeff is playing because everybody's playing the same way.
Does he shoot?
He's a righty. He's a righty, and you're a lefty, so I know that. But
the only reason I ask is because you never know.
I don't know. I don't need to know because, again, I know which way he's going to play. I know where he's going to be, and I know what the structure is going to be. So if we change the lines, we're not going to have to wait 10 minutes for the lines to click and say, oh, okay, now we get going because we know how we're supposed to play. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of wiggle room.
Well, if you're going to go there as far as like lines and line changes, think of the entirety of this 9-game stretch, wins of 7 in 9.
Yeah.
And think of how different at times the defense corps has looked throughout it. Yoki Haru sat for 6.
Yeah.
Samuelson was in, then got hurt. Gilbert was undefeated until the Philadelphia game. But honestly, like, Bryson has stayed in. I don't think a single fan would have expected Jacob Bryson to maintain this run.
And he was playing
top four.
And
it's nothing against Jacob Bryson. It's how you view pro sports and contracts and dollars and minutes played and impact potential and otherwise, right? Mm-hmm. It's crazy. You could not have predicted the usage of the defense corps over four. This stretch.
He was playing with power as a top four defenseman. And you had Clifton and Gilbert and Samuelson. And then you had Yoki Haru come in. And then Yoki Haru, I feel, fit in perfectly with power as a top four. And I think they've looked good. Power is now, you know, like, again, the assist and, you know, the points at 5-on-5. But I think the way that the defense has been playing, again, it comes down to structure. I don't see defense chasing anybody at the top of the zone. I don't see, you know, circling and not knowing where you are. Everybody seems to know where they're going. And look, are they keeping it simple at time? Yeah. They're going flip in the neutral zone, or they're going off the glass and out. And at times I'm like, oh, like, okay, they're flipping pucks. Like, come on now. But it's not in your zone. At least you're not, like, you're not getting caught and turning the puck over 25 feet, 30 feet away from your net. Like, if you're going to give it up, well, give it up 80 feet, 100 feet away from your net, where you have time to recover from there.
Yeah, and this is not sitting here saying, well, like, Bryson's going to stay in. Obviously, everything is fluid. But like his first game of the year was the loss in Detroit. Yeah. And that was disappointing because they gave up two and, you know, there was frustration from the coach and how those goals happened. But he stayed in the lineup for the Ottawa game. So he's been in 10 in a row. It's interesting just to see the usage. His first game, he was at 13 minutes and he was up around 19 a few times. On the trip, he was 11, 15, and 11, right? So yeah, this is all, you know, discussion worthy to a certain extent, only because it takes like all 18, right?
But also, Bryson was 11, 15, and 11 because Jokiarju got put back in the lineup and Bryson went from second pair to third pair. Yeah. But you know what? If you need him to play 17, 18, he's done it a few times and mm-hmm. wins this year.
Yeah.
It's not like all of a sudden, Bryson had to play 18, but we lost and we can't have him play that much. He's responsible enough to get it done. He's got wheels. He can skate enough to get it done, which mm-hmm. has been a big asset for him to stay in the lineup now.
Shannon Goldman is coming up. There's a million and one stories in the NHL to get to, so it's going to be really difficult to do that. But this is like a Shana 2-for-1 Tuesday because we didn't have her last week and we're not going to have her this week,
we
in her regular spot. So we get one instead of the two, and we're going to try to maximize every opportunity there. And there are certainly some crazy, you know, results around the league of late that have people wondering about certain teams and what's next, because obviously when a domino as large as Phil Tomasino falls in the NHL yesterday, like the floodgates are going to open here on the trade front. Is there a roster freeze for Thanksgiving? Because I'm feeling like we're on the edge of, like scorched earth across the NHL in trades between now and Sunday.
I sense a little sarcasm.
Really?
When a fourth round pick for Tomasino gets moved.
Didn't help the Predators last night.
I'll say
this. They stink. Honestly.
Here's the thing. You're talking about teams that stink. The New York Rangers have been stinky of late.
Here's and the catch, now, though.
What was the
Rangers started 5-0-1 and they've been 500 exactly. since. The Predators started 0-5 and they've been 500 since. So
and
they're
they
still.
Stink. Yes. But the Rangers, because of the stinky nature of one of my former team, now the Trouba conversation is in the news cycle about the Rangers are looking to trade Jacob Trouba, and the Chris Kreider conversation is in there. The Rangers may be looking to move Chris Kreider. I'm saying
modified no trade. Two more years, already 33.
Modified no trade.
Yeah, but 15 team list.
Yeah. Oh. But if I'm the other 15, I'm trying to acquire Chris Kreider. I think
no
he's
chance.
Still
Shana's gonna put that in perspective. Well, his 5-on-5 game obviously hasn't been great. That's why this comes up. He's an elite special teams player and still has numbers to match that. But obviously the frustration with the Rangers right now is based at 5-on-5 among some of their big players, right?
I think the Rangers are flawed. I think Peter Laviolette has always been able to have a structure that is a man-on-man defensive zone coverage. Worked for him when it was with Nashville. He got to the finals. It always has worked for him. But I think teams are figuring it out now, and the Rangers are flawed because of that, and it's hurting Chris Kreider. Kreider is more of a penalty killer type of mentality, straight, like, my zone, my coverage, man on man, he gets lost, and that's not helping him. So that's why I would take him in a heartbeat. But maybe Shana will help clearing me out.
Name an Eastern Conference team that has a better record against the West than the Buffalo Sabres.
Ooh, I'm going to say the Washington Capitals.
Nope, they are tied. Both
because
are
I
7-1.
Vegas twice, so
both are 7-1.
Okay.
So Buffalo is best versus the West. Name a Western team that has the best record against the East.
The Minnesota Wild.
It would be the Minnesota Wild. That sets us up nicely for tomorrow's matchup on Thanksgiving Eve, full of gravy, full of boats, right in the harbor. It's like the Boston Tea Party, but with gravy and here on the shores of Lake Erie. Like honestly, yes. Tomorrow is going to be amazing.
I'm gonna get a gravy boat. I'm coming in early to grab one of the gravy boats.
Okay.
I want
Here's my promise to you. If the Sabres score 9 or more, I am bathing on air in gravy during the postgame. I'm serious. You can pour the gravy boat all over me.
I will. If they score nine or more.
Listen,
if they're at seven at some point, I am going to go on the Jumbotron and announce that everybody, if the Sabres score nine, you know how they used to have the promotion, like you get the four goals, everybody gets a free coffee or something. I'm going to go announce it on the Jumbotron.
So we can have a gravy station next to the Northtown 50-50 station. So when people on their way out of the 200 level, they can scoop up the gravy boat full and come over and douse me.
Yes.
This is going to be amazing. There's only one person that doesn't like this idea, and it's Tammy, and she's cringing right now because she's responsible
for all
audio connections, and she's already worried that my headset is going to get fried in the gravy.
Duffer, we're
going
to put a chair on the side like when I do Bald for Box. We don't need you hooked up. We just need a camera on you. I'll do the play-by-play of you getting doused by gravy.
Yeah. Shocker. Marty just wants the mic to himself and wants to host the entire
post-game. I want
to
help Tammy. That's what I want to do.
Okay. So Thanksgiving Eve, 50-50. This is important. Head to the rink, but even if you can't, the special Thanksgiving Eve 50-50 presented by Northtown Automotive is now live with a guaranteed pot of $50,000. Visit sabres.com/50-50 to purchase your tickets or scan the QR code on your screen right now, watching on MSG. Proceeds benefit the Buffalo Sabres Foundation. Shayna Goldman, next on Sabres Live.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!